Oh, good. You guys can help me. Here, I'll give you this. You can sign, hold that up in a minute. So today's a special day in the church. You guys know what it is? I just gave you a picture. So hold that up so everybody can see what that picture is. Hold it up so everyone can see. So what do you think it is? Birthday cake. So that means, when do you have birthday cake? Yeah, you have it on your birthday. Today is the church's birthday. Did you know that? So what do you see on there? When you have a birthday cake, every year you add another what? Candle. Put another candle on the cake. So I didn't put any candles on that cake, but if we did, it'd look like this. Hold that up for everybody to see. There's not enough room. It'd be over 2,000 candles on the cake. So I didn't put any candles on the cake. But I thought it was fun to hear the story. So this happened the same year that Jesus was crucified. And 50 days after he was resurrected, the disciples and some people were gathered together to celebrate a holy day, the day of Pentecost. So let me tell you what happened. They were in this room. Suddenly, the sound like a blowing of a violent wind, which we know is light because it was doing that yesterday, from heaven came into the house, and they saw what looked like fire, and it came down on each of the people in there. So that's what happened 2,000 days ago when God began his church by giving his people his Holy Spirit, and the church began to grow right away. So do you have the Holy Spirit in your heart? I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. Everyone who has the Holy Spirit in their heart, that's because of the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. So Peter tells us how we can be part of God's church. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So today's a pretty special birthday. I think that we should sing a birthday song. Everybody join with me? Yeah? Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear church, happy birthday to you. Yay, thank you very much. Let's fold our hands and say a prayer, shall we? Dear Father, thank you for your church. Thank you that it's been here for 2,000 years. And thank you that it will always be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you so much, Dee Dee. Look at the Holy Spirit today and how the Holy Spirit brings us new life. Please follow along with me in the outline that you have in your bulletins. I'm going to look at this work that is very confusing to people. I think it is a great mystery to many Christians. I really think that it's hard for us to understand what the work of the Holy Spirit is, and I see so many different answers, as we saw in the video earlier. That morning in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit arrived. When it arrived, he fell on 120 people. They were huddled up in that room there. And each of them had different questions. They had different issues. They had different sins that they were wrestling with. Some of them weren't sure that they believed. In the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, it said that they doubted what they were seeing. The Holy Spirit fell on doubters. They were afraid of being persecuted. And that's why they're all hiding up in that upper room. And the Holy Spirit fell on the fearful. Some of them were guilty. They had actually denied Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit fell on those who had forsook Christ and ran away. Some of them were mourning. They were full of grief. They had lost a friend. They had lost a brother. They had lost a son. The Holy Spirit fell on troubled and hurting people. I don't know if there is exactly a way that I could explain to you with some formula of exactly how the Holy Spirit is going to work in everyone's life, except to say that the arrival of the Holy Spirit is proof that there are no more barriers between us and God. At Bethlehem, God is with us, came into this world, and God is with us. And then at Calvary, that means that all of your sins, everything that we've ever done, past, present, and future, they were paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. The resurrection triumphantly shows that it is true and it is real. Pentecost is different. Pentecost means that God has come inside of us. He is actually living in us. And if you ask different Christians what the work of that Holy Spirit is, like I was saying, you'd get answers from different people. Everybody you ask would give you a different question. You know, I've had some people a different answer. Some people would tell me, and I've heard this before, that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be full of joy. You're going to be happy. What does that mean on the days when I'm sad and I'm not so happy? Am I not filled with the Holy Spirit? I've had some Christians tell me that in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. What does that mean? I've seen in Pentecost, they were speaking in different languages to people, that languages they didn't know. They were speaking those languages to other people that understood what they were saying. Is that what God was talking about? Is that what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do? You know, and like you heard in the video, Jesus said we're going to do greater things than he did. You know, I've not raised anybody from the dead. On the day that Pentecost happened, 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ. I've not seen that in my ministry. Is that what the Holy Spirit would want me to do? You know, if you at your work, have you seen one person converted to Jesus Christ? If that's not the case, is the Holy Spirit still working in you? I have fears, you have fears, we have doubts, we have questions in our mind. How is it that we're struggling with this? And is that the new life that the Holy Spirit wanted to bring us? On the day of Pentecost, there were thousands of people gathered in the temple area. But there were two groups of people that received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, people witnessed what was going on, but Acts chapter 2 points out to us that there were two people who actually received the Holy Spirit that day. Most everybody in that big crowd would have heard about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I wonder, what did those two groups have in common? One group is the people that were gathered in the upper room. They experienced the wind and the flames of fire. And the second group were those people in the crowd who were cut to the heart by what Peter said. You know, some of the people in that big crowd would have been very glad that Jesus Christ was out of the way. And some would have been very, very sad about what had happened. Some of them would have been very, very guilty about what had happened. And it was to the guilty that the Holy Spirit came, to those who sensed and knew in their heart that they needed forgiveness. There was a wind, there was the tongues of fire to get everybody's attention, but God had something to say to the people. God wanted to say to those people that morning, "You are forgiven." That's what God wanted to say. In Peter's sermon, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart with the fact that they had crucified Jesus Christ. And God wanted to tell them that you are forgiven. He wanted them to hear those words. Forgiveness is the first work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you should forgive each other's sins. And when you forgive them their sins, when they are remorseful and you forgive them of their sins, they are forgiven. You know, and God could have said anything to them that morning. God could have judged them. He could have hollered at them. He could have boasted. He could have gloated. He could have said, I won. I've got the victory. You lost. But God didn't do any of that because he just loves people that much. What he wanted to say to them was, you are forgiven. And that spoke to them because there are people in the world, I would say most of the world is dying to hear three words, you are forgiven. Everybody needs to hear those words. Because all of us have sinned. All of us have blown it. All of us have wronged somebody. All of us have been wronged by somebody. And you know that guilt is one of the most destructive, painful, incredibly difficult emotions that human beings ever experience. It is the same thing that caused Adam and Eve to run away from God when they had really no reason. He was a loving, caring father, and they ran away from him, and guilt is such a burden. It robs you of your energy, of your strength, of your joy. It destroys relationships. There is really no telling how many marriages have been destroyed by guilt or guilt manipulation. And it harms our bodies too. You know, us in our physical bodies, we were not meant to carry around a load of guilt. And studies have shown that up to 50% of the people in hospital beds right now are there because of stress-related illnesses, primarily because of unresolved guilt and anger. And I'm not saying that all suffering is a result or cause of guilt. It's not, but it is. A lot of it is. And at least 3,000 people in that temple complex needed to hear God say, you are forgiven. You know, in the gospel reading that we have, Jesus was wanting to give God's peace to us. And the reason why Jesus Christ came into the world, he came into the world to restore us to the relationship with God that was previously broken, that was destroyed by sin. And that was his main purpose. That's why he came in. And you know, we can never fully avoid sinning. We can never fully not sin. And so we always have guilt. We always need the forgiving grace of Christ. And it's that forgiving grace of Christ, when we live in it, when we receive it, when we share it, that we have God's peace. God's peace flows from his forgiving grace. Do you know, in the epistles, you can check this out later, but you look at almost every epistle in the Bible, 13 of the epistles in the New Testament, start with the words, grace and peace be to you. Grace and peace, grace and peace. That's what God wants to share with us. And you know, there were 120 people at least in that upper room that didn't have peace. And there were at least 3,000 or more people in that crowd that did not have peace. But when the preaching inspired by the Holy Spirit spoke forgiveness to those people, there was deep and profound peace. Just a wonderful peace that created community. It created the church, praise God. It was amazing. And you know, I want to share with you, because if I'm thinking of us as a church, us as Trinity Lutheran Church, God's placed us together. God's done that, and we are a community in Jesus Christ. And if we are a community led by the Holy Spirit, we are to share that forgiveness and peace. And so many people share that with me, share that attitude and share that heart with me. And I see it in you, and I am so blessed, and I am just so happy about that. Because I see that is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's doing. And he wants us to grow in that. You know, unless we practice this forgiving, this sharing in this way with one another, we cannot be the church that the Holy Spirit wants us to be. These issues are so important. They're what shaped the church. They're what formed them. They're what made them to be. And it was so vital to them. You know, not all of the lessons that we're going to have to learn in this life are going to be easy to swallow. But it's essential that we grow spiritually. There are lessons along the way that are really going to hurt, lessons that will catch our attentions where we have to make the choice to move forward in God's Spirit and develop the character. You know, what makes a church, what makes a church on fire, what makes a church vibrant is this fact that more and more people in the church catch the vision of forgiveness and they live it out in their lives, one with another, above all things. And I thank God, I praise God for that. I can see that among us, and God wants us just to grow in that way. For example, let me give you a very practical application of that in our everyday lives. If I could view, because I know all of us don't get this right, but God is leading us. He wants you to go in this direction. If you and I could view a person that has harmed us, and we've all been harmed by someone, we've all been offended by somebody, but what if we viewed that person as a vessel who delivers us an opportunity to grow? You know, that opens up our hearts to begin to be grateful for their presence in our lives. You know, it does not mean that I approve of the person's behavior. It just simply means, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, I'm able to see the greater good at work. You know, the question is, we have to just ask ourselves this, even on a daily basis. You know, you think about it, because this affects all of us. It affects me. You know, I stumble and fall so often. We all do. And we have to ask ourselves, what's bothering us? What's getting to us? You know, what's offending us? And I put in your outline, I put a couple tests that come to my mind that you can practice, that I'm actually practicing. I want to put into practice in my daily life more and more, because forgiveness and peace go hand in hand. You know, you might say, well, I don't know who or what I need to forgive. Well, you know, the first test I put in there to make us think a little deeper is called the blame test. You know, and ask yourself these questions in your mind, in your private time. Who do I blame for my unhappiness? You know, if it weren't for so-and-so, that person or that thing, you know, my life would be great. If this hadn't happened in my life, it would be terrific. If I didn't have to work with this person, or if I didn't have these parents, or if this, you know, what are you blaming your unhappiness on is what you need to forgive. You need to let it go. You need to just release it. The Holy Spirit is urging us. It's calling us to just release it, to let it go, to leave it in God's hands. He's able to work things out. You know, some of us have experienced deep, traumatic, personal tragedies. You just have to let them go. You just have to trust God. God is he's working in you. You know, the second test that I put in there is really powerful, and I think it affects so many people. It's bitterness. And bitterness, it works like this. You know, it's where we're collecting the debts, we're adding the score, and we're adding interest to that score. You keep score, I keep score. And it's almost like we have little scales in our mind. And these little scales are like this, that when somebody does something good, we balance it out remembering the bad that they did. And we constantly have those scales working, you know, and God's just asking us, just let it go. Just release it. The reason why we don't have peace is because we're failing these tests, and all of us do. And Jesus Christ came to relieve your guilt. The Holy Spirit reminds us, reminding of the things that Christ did, that he died on the cross and all those things are nailed to the cross of Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what the cross of Christ is about. And you are free. God gives us a different message to share, different words to speak. I found a quote from Mark Twain. And Mark Twain said it like this. He said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. You know, it's when you speak a nice word, God speaks nice words to you. God speaks words like, you're forgiven. I love you. I care for you. I'm watching out over everything that happens in your life. He just radiates that love, radiates. It says in the Bible that love hopes all things, it believes all things, it never fails. This is the heart and the mind and the life of the Holy Spirit. It starts with forgiveness. It flows from us in that forgiveness and the words that we share. And there is nothing like a knee-melting compliment that's delivered directly, sincerely. It can be life-altering. And that's God's work. He showed it to us. It began. He showed us the cross, and he said, held out his arms. He said, I love you this much. There's no end to it. We take that in your heart and your mind. Let that inspire you. Let that fill you. You know, if you're the hurting one, just need to have that love wash over. Set you free. And as you grow in that power of God's Holy Spirit, remember how that has blessed you, how that has shared you, how God has spoken those wonderful good words to you. May God strengthen us and help us and keep us moving as the community of His Holy Spirit in the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the goodness of your grace. Lord, we thank you for your presence among us. Speak your forgiveness to us. Let us hear the good words that you say. Lord God, help us then to share that grace and then enjoy the peace that flows. In Jesus' name, amen.